The Bible introduces God by many different names. Each displaying a different facet of his character. These names are important because they show us who our Creator and Savior is and how a relationship with Him can impact our lives. Hello, my name is... This week, Healer.
Hey everyone, it's good to be with you. I'm Rusty Corum, Senior Pastor at New Hope Church, and I really love this series that we're doing this summer. We've been looking at this series that's helped us understand a little bit more about the nature of God, who He is, what He's like, and how He relates to us and how He wants us to relate to Him. We've looked at things like God is almighty. That means He is all-powerful, but not just powerful, but He tempers how He uses His power by His character, and that is driven by His love for us, for His love for justice. I mean, He's not capricious. He's not like some of these world leaders we see that have tons of power, but they use it strictly for their own advantage, regardless of what it does to their people. We've seen that God is our provider. He's the giver of peace. He's also the rock. He's the one that, he's the foundation that we can build our lives on and never worry about it slipping away or giving way. He's the one who sees. He sees everything. He is completely aware at all times about all things, not just outward actions, but He understands even our motives and our intentions. He's the shepherd, and He's the good shepherd. We looked at Psalm 23 last week, and if you've missed any of these messages, I encourage you, you can get our app, or you can go online, and you can watch these on demand. I just think it will help. It helps all of us to remember what God is like so that whenever circumstances come our way or whenever we're facing things that are tough, we know who it is we're going to and that He wants us to. Today we're looking at the idea of healing and that God calls Himself Jehovah Rapha, the healer. You know, physical health is a big deal in America. Pew Research just did a massive poll, and they ask Americans, a large section of them, what are the biggest problem, what is the biggest problem we face as a country? And the number one by far was the affordability and access of healthcare. There are a number of other things that came up, but of the top ones, it was this idea of having healthcare. We're concerned about it. Obviously, with the COVID-19, the Delta variant and all, it's on many of our minds. Several of us have lost loved ones as a result of being infected with COVID. And so and even if that weren't going on, physical health is important. We all recognize it, whether we do anything about it or not. We accept that, and the Bible does too. The Bible talks a good bit about physical health, and we should take care of ourselves. It gives us some guidelines for this, though. And part of that is God gave us our bodies. He doesn't want us to abuse or misuse them. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 6 says. It says, don't you realize that your body, and this is speaking to followers of Christ, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? So, God doesn't reside in a temple or building. He resides in you and me. The moment we become followers of Jesus, we now have His Holy Spirit living in us. So technically, we are temples of God. He says, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Our bodies now, once I become a follower of Jesus, I now belong to God. And this body that I have is technically His. And so what I need to do with it is use it in a way that brings Him pleasure and honor and respects what He's given me. It's important here to draw a distinction, though, is our bodies, according to God's word, our physical bodies and how we use them are a way that we can honor and respect and worship God. Problems come, and we see this all the time, when we get off track and we begin to worship our bodies. And I'm not going to get into too many examples of this. They're all over. Becky and I were driving the other day by a bus stop place, and they had a big poster on there for one of these things that'll suck away fat. And it just showed a scantily clad woman. You know, we see all this kind of stuff, and if we're not careful, we slide into this thing about worshiping our physical bodies. And we spend so much time and energy trying to figure out, you know, personally how we can get to the, like, the perfect shape and size and all that kind of stuff. Or we spend all our time admiring. Again, I don't want to get into all that, but our bodies are important. Taking care of our bodies is really important, but we need to be careful with that, or we slide into something way off base. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this. It goes, physical training and physical exercise is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. I love exercise. I'm pretty committed to it and have been for many years. But I also know I need to be careful that I don't make it more important to me than other things. It would be a shame if I spend so much time exercising to get my body in shape, but then I don't really work on those things that God says are going to last forever. You know, no matter what we do physically, you can eat all bran all the time. You can eat nothing but vegetables. You can cut out all carbs and sugars. You can exercise all the time, and you're still going to die. I mean, we're going to get sag. The longer we live, we're going to get saggier and baggier, and eventually we're going to die. But my spiritual life is going to maintain. And again, we'll look at that in a few minutes. But the idea of taking care of ourselves physically is important. It's not the most important thing, but it is important. And this thing about healing, God is the healer. God, I believe this is true, God can and does heal physical illness. But the more urgent issue is healing us from something else, and that is our sin. So let me look at this idea of physical healing for a minute, because it gets us into some areas that can be very confusing for some. And I want to try to give, this is my perspective on it, and I encourage you to study the Bible and see where it goes. First of all, it doesn't take much reading in the New Testament to see that Jesus healed. He healed often, all kinds of diseases. He also told his disciples that they could heal. He gave them that authority, and we see that in their lives, that there were often times when they would heal all kinds of physical ailments that people have. Whenever they did, though, it was always to point people to God. It was to point them to something much bigger than just the relief, the physical relief. It was for them to see that there's a God that loves them, a God that cares about them, a God that has purposes for them, and a God that they need to be reconciled with, so that they can find forgiveness and restoration and have this kind of deeper healing spiritually that's going to last them forever. Never do we see Jesus or his disciples healing, and right beforehand they take up an offering, or they say, look, if you'll send in monthly, you'll send us a few denarii, we'll heal. There was nothing like that. It was never a sideshow. It was never to generate money. Now there are some that believe that the healings that Jesus and his disciples did were a sign that it was only around for a short amount of time until the church was established. These are people that would be called dispensationalists. They believe this is a temporary dispensation that is no longer happening. There's no longer, people don't pray for healing. God doesn't do that. So there's some that do believe that. There are others on another side of the spectrum that say the power to heal it is just as available now as it's ever been. And in fact, the only reason you and I experience sickness is because we have a lack of faith. Now, not everyone that believes God currently heals and gives us the power to heal believe that, but that's an extreme of it. I know of people that have been told that the fact that they were experiencing an illness and it continued was because they lacked faith. That if they just trusted God enough, they would be healed, that they were the roadblock to this. And you'll see this sometimes, some of the caricatures we have of faith healers, and I've seen plenty of these, I'm sure you have too. And you know, there are people that are having these big crusades or rallies, and or they're having TV shows and they're saying, look, you know, God wants to heal you. I'll pray that you'll be healed. By the way, you need to send me some money to do that, support my ministry and all that. But it's almost as if they're, I get the picture sometimes that these that I've seen, they're preying on people rather than praying for them. Again, that's a caricature. But so you've got some that believe healing is no longer, some that believe healing is still here. My personal belief is that God still heals, and he will do so whenever he sees that the healing will build faith and be a witness to others. I see no reason to believe that God doesn't still do healing, or that he wouldn't answer a prayer for healing that you and I would give, but I don't believe that it's guaranteed he's always going to do it. I think he has his purposes and his plans. I'm going to give you a quick personal story about this. When I was growing up in West Virginia, there was a time in my life where I developed very serious allergies. It was, they were really bad. I was ragweed and pollen and grass. It was so bad that in the spring and fall that I could barely breathe, and my eyes would swell shut during the day. There were times when I literally couldn't open my eyes. I needed to stay indoors quite a bit. I couldn't be around grass, especially when it was being mowed. It just drove me crazy. And this would just became a normal part of my life. When I accepted Christ, a lot of things changed. I mean, a lot of things changed in my life, but my allergy continued. And I still really, really struggled with this. And as a fairly new Christian, I got around a group of people one time, and these friends offered to pray specifically for me about my allergy. And I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know anything about really anything. I just knew Jesus had forgiven me, but they said that we'd like to pray for you and ask God to heal you. And I thought, well, sure, let's give it a shot. I'm open for anything. And so I remember the group got around me and they prayed for me, and there was no one ever demanding anything. No one shamed me by saying, well, you know, Rusty has this because he doesn't have enough faith, or there was nothing like that. It was just a genuine kind of a humble coming to God on my behalf. And I was so grateful that they did. What really blew me away was sometime after that, not immediately, but sometime after that, I noticed that the majority of my allergic symptoms were gone. I was stunned. I had lived with them for so long, and then all of a sudden I realized they're not here. I'm not having that same problem. And to this day, I'm still so grateful for God's kindness and his mercy to me. In fact, a few years later, Becky and I got married. I'm in grad school, and I started a small lawn care business, cutting grass, my nemesis. And it grew into a large commercial lawn maintenance, landscape design, and installation company. Who would have guessed? I mean, that was the last thing you would think I would have ever done. Yet God did heal me. I'm convinced of that. And he used the years I spent with that business to help build some things in my life that were essential for us, especially as the years went on and we ended up moving into full-time ministry and started New Hope. I believe God can and does heal physically. I also believe he uses doctors. I believe he uses vaccines. I think he's got a lot of tools in his arsenal. And I think he cares very much about our physical well-being. But there is something much more important to him than our physical health. And that's what I want us to focus on. When we see that God is the healer, there's another kind of sickness that he is much more interested in, and that is the sickness caused by our sin. It is a soul sickness. It's a spiritual death sentence of cancer if we don't deal with it. And I think too many times we can get sidetracked by the physical and miss the spiritual. There are implications to all of it, and we'll get to that. So I want to read to you. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 53, which is talking about it's a prophecy, or it's explaining what the Messiah, when he comes, will do. And that's describing what Jesus was going to do. Listen to what it says here. It says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. So what happens is when people watch Jesus as he headed toward the cross, they didn't realize why he was doing it. He wasn't doing it because of his own sin. He wasn't doing it because he was a victim. He was doing it because we needed what only he could do. I'm a kidney donor. 7 years ago, I gave a kidney. I did something for somebody else that because I had a spare and they needed one. This is what Jesus did for you and me. It goes on in verse 5 in Isaiah 53, says, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And it goes on to say, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of his soul. The context here, I've heard some people say before, said, well, he was whipped so we could be healed. So that means that God, that when Jesus died on the cross, it was so we could be physically healed. That is not what it says. The context is important. And the context here is that our sin, our rebellion, our straying away from God is what caused us all these problems. And that separation, if something weren't done, if there wasn't a penalty paid, then we would be stuck with our sin. Jesus came and paid the price for us. He did what we desperately needed and what only he could do. So when it says, so we could be healed, so we could be whole, healed, it was because Jesus knew that the sickness we had, this sin sickness we had, was a death sentence, an eternal death sentence. Later on, Peter, one of his disciples, recaps what's said here in a letter he wrote to one of the churches. He goes, speaking of Jesus, says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Then he says, by his wounds you are healed. Healed meaning spiritually, I am now made right. I am whole because of what Jesus did. It's like he's the donor and he allowed me to have this brand new life based on the cost that he paid. Then he goes on to say, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. There's something that we have got to keep in mind when it comes to God being our healer, when it comes to understanding what this healing means when we see it in the Bible. And this is a tough one, and we don't like hearing it, but this side of heaven, physical healing is temporary. Everyone that Jesus healed eventually was going to die again. Lazarus, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was going to die later. His disciples all died. Life this side of eternity is temporary. And somehow I think we tend to forget that, or we don't want to think about it. Hebrews 9 says this, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sin, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Each of us is going to die, and at the end of our life, whenever that is, then we will stand before God. And those of us that have accepted Jesus as our Savior, we will be ushered into a brand new life, a brand new way of living, a new heaven and a new earth. And in Revelation 21, it says this, that when that happens, it says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. When Jesus was healing in his public ministry. It was a picture of what was going to be done fully when life wraps up. This side of heaven, because of sin in the world, our world is broken. There is going to be death, and there's going to be loss, and there'll be suffering. There'll be a time when God wraps up all of history, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or sickness or illness. There, none of that. It'll be gone. We just need to be careful and to not allow ourselves to slide into some kind of mindset of trying to build heaven on earth. We do that financially. Some of us, we spend so much time amassing things because we're trying to build comfort and we're trying to build security. But the truth is it's temporary. It's not going to last. We ought to be conduits right now of all that God gives us and sharing that with others, because by doing so, we can help others find a relationship with God, because ultimately that's what we're here for. Physical health is important, exercise and all that kind of stuff, but we can't allow it to become so important that it becomes the focus of our lives. When we do that, we miss out, and so do others. So let me come up, kind of wrap up some things here. That as followers of Christ, we're called to join God in helping others discover the fuller healing that He offers. Again, I do believe that God still does physical healing, but He is much more interested in the spiritual healing, the healing of our relationship with Him, and ultimately then our relationship with others. This is what He's really primarily focused on. We need to do this in His church. We need to practice this in our church. Listen to this. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Those of us that know Jesus, we still have a battle over our sinful nature. There are times when, and you know this is true, when you'll catch yourself thinking something, man, that I'd like to do that, but I know I shouldn't. We still have these impulses and urges, and if we're not careful, we can feed those things, and they can create all kind of problems in our lives. And one of the things about being part of a church, and I love the fact that we can do online, that we have the on-demand feature, but there's something about us being connected relationally, where we're face-to-face, where we're able to get to know each other and really know each other. I was texting with someone today that I was early this morning, they were on my mind. I texted them and I said, "Hey, sir, how are you doing?" And a little while later, they got back to me and said, "You know, I just had to wait to respond. I wanted to be honest, but you know, it's really tough right now. And as a result, we're going to end up getting together soon." We get to do this for each other, but if we're not careful, any of us are susceptible to letting our sinful nature, that part of us that is not focused on God, to end up diverting us, and we can get in all kinds of trouble. It can create relational problems, physical problems, emotional problems, mental problems. So much of our physical, mental, and emotional health is driven by how we think, what our perspective is, what our focus is. And so in James 5, there's another thing that is so important in the church. It says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." And the healing here doesn't mean just physical healing. It means healed so that you really are whole, that you're right with God and you're right with others. It says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The word healed here can mean physical healing, but understand this, God's so much more concerned about our healing and our relationship with Him and with each other. Maintaining healthy, strong relationships it's critical. There is no guarantee that I see biblically that God is going to heal all of our physical illnesses. Not at all. We are all going to die physically one day. And when that time comes, we'll have a brand new body. We'll have a brand new mind. I mentioned this last week, that my mom has severe Alzheimer's. I know there'll be a day when my mom will be fully in her right mind. It will not be this side of heaven. But when my mom is gone, when she's ushered into the presence of her Savior and her Lord, she will be fully restored. There is hope here. If I put my hope just in somehow maintaining health and wealth and all this side of heaven, I'm going to miss it, because eventually that's going to be gone. So what God wants for you and me now is for us to live in a way that is full of faith and trust and hope in Him. We pray about things, we pray with and for each other, but we make the priorities priorities. We work on our relationship with God and with our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, so that those are healthy relationships. Because God can and will heal us if we're willing to surrender ourselves to Him and give Him full access. And He's much more concerned about the relational and spiritual healing than He is the physical. Although, again, I still think the physical is valid. It just shouldn't be the priority. There's a watching world around us. And the thing is God wants us to do everything we can to help others discover the fuller healing He offers in the church and into the watching world. Listen to what it says in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When you and I made a decision to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord, that Lord part is important. That means He's our commander-in-chief. He's our boss. And there may be times He deploys us in ways that we don't understand the why. We just decide we're going to trust the who. And there are times when God may heal, and He's going to use that as a way to capture people's attention, ours or others. I mean, I know of some cases where someone had an MRI and there was a serious tumor, and later on it's done again and it's gone, and the doctors and technicians are scratching their head. And God can use that to help bring them to a point of really understanding and thinking about, so who is this God? Who is it that can even change the natural course of things? But God could also say, I want you to deal with this health crisis or this issue in your life, and I'm not going to heal you this side of heaven, because I want others to see how someone can trust and follow even when things aren't going well. And that's God's prerogative. You and I should pray about physical problems that come our way, but we also need to decide that regardless of what God chooses to do, we will humbly trust and know that eventually things will be right. I had a friend that texted me early this morning, a pastor friend, and he said, do you have any suggestions for me? A family in our church have a six-year-old that just died of leukemia. And it is, walking with parents through something like that is so excruciating, for others to look and say, well, how could that happen if God's so good and all that kind of thing? And it's so painful, and that loss is excruciating. And I told him one of the things I do is I go back to Romans 8, and I want to read this, and then when I'm done, Jim Morgans, who leads our grief share, is going to pray for us. But listen to this. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be dealing with sickness. You may be dealing with a loss. God gets that, and He wants to heal you from the inside out. And that healing begins by understanding that He sent His Son to give His life for you. And that when you and I are right with God that way, He will provide everything we need. He will either change our circumstances, including our physical health, or He will change us to handle those circumstances and the lack of physical health to bring honor and glory to his name. At the end of the day, he heals us from the inside out. And he is so, so good. And one day, we will stand on the other side of eternity, completely healed and whole in our right thinking, our right minds. And we'll be able to see then all that God was doing along the way. We get to be part of it with him now, and it's a privilege and a joy. But he is a healer, but he heals the way he sees best, and he always knows what's best. I'm going to hand it over to Jim Morgans now. Jim, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you, Rusty. Good morning, everyone. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we are awakened to the realization of your merciful gifts that we have been given through your Son, Jesus Christ. It is certain that we are born into this world guilty. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all like sheep and have gone astray. We are apt to wander. And unfortunately, we are unable to find our way home on our own. Our sin unto God is a crime for which we were condemned to die. It's like a disease, a sickness, which can be the death of our souls. It shows itself in our grief and in our wounds. So it is no surprise that on this side of heaven, we live and struggle in the shadow of sorrow, shame, sickness, and pain. But today, Jesus, we praise you and we bow before you, for by your own voluntary undertaking, you made yourself responsible for our debt. Our sins were taken off of us and laid upon you. Our sins became the thorns in your head, the nails in your hands and feet, and spear in your side. You bore our grief and carried our sorrows to the cross, where you were crucified between two thieves, as if you were the worst of all three. You were wounded for our transgressions, and it is by your stripes, Jesus, we can be healed. You carried our sickness, our blame, our shame and pain to that cross, such a heavy load. Yet you did not tire. You persevered to the end till you declared, "It is finished." Jesus, by your sacrifice and your suffering, you paid our debt in full and purchased the pardon and cure for our sin. With you, we are set free from the bondage of sin. The chains are broken. And with your resurrection, you granted us the Spirit and grace of God so that we may be fit to serve and live within his great abundance. Jesus, in you we have been saved, justified before our Heavenly Father because of your blood and sacrifice. Jesus, in you we are being saved every day, sanctified through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in you we will be saved for eternity, glorified in heaven when our time on earth comes to an end. So, Father, today we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your healing that can only come through you, your death and resurrection. In the name of the Father, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, amen.